how much more enjoyable is it talking about Ohio State the last couple of weeks than it was for those first three games of the season? Like, this is much more enjoyable, right? Let's keep doing this. What's up, y'all? Welcome into another episode of Scarlet and Gray Stripes, a subset. I don't know why I keep saying subset, but it's an offshoot of the Two Stripes podcast in the same feed as the Two Stripes podcast. And in this podcast, I talk nothing but Ohio State football previews and recaps. This week is the Maryland preview. My name is Colton Denning. I'm your host. Before I start today's show, I want to thank everybody for listening. All of the new influx in dozens of you, dozens and dozens of new listeners, maybe just one dozen, not two dozens. But if you're a new listener, thank you for checking out the show. If you're a returning listener, thank you for staying along with. Make sure to subscribe. I keep seeing those Spotify numbers increase. Love that. Follow along on Apple, leave a star rating, leave a review, leave some feedback, whether it's positive or negative, any way that I can make this show better. So follow along there. You can also listen on SoundCloud. You can find my work on YouTube, youtube.com/Colton Denning. I haven't put any of the Ohio State highlight videos up for the last couple of weeks. Hopefully, if they play well again this week, that'll change. I'll have some of the highlight videos up there. CJ Stroud, possibly, and the SimVid. SimVid's going to be up too. So check out the SimVid. I'll have that up on Thursday, hopefully, midday Thursday. If you're listening to this, it's probably Wednesday night or early Thursday morning. So check it out, youtube.com/Colton Denning for the Maryland SimVid. It's a little better than the Rutgers one was, where it had Rutgers winning 13-3. I can tell you that much. This one is much more entertaining and better for Ohio State. So check that out. And go to twostripescpd.com for all of my other college football work and dumb picks of the week, which, hey, if you want to make a little bit of money, dumb picks of the week is hitting right now, 8-1 on the season. All right, with that out of the way, we can talk about anything pertaining to Maryland and Maryland week, any Ohio State news, and that's probably the best place to start. And there wasn't really any news this week. Ryan Day had his weekly press conference, and the only real thing that I took from that was that Cam Brown is working through another injury, it sounds like, and there's really no timetable that we're getting for that. So probably going to be without Cam Brown for a while. The bye week is coming up at a great time. We'll talk about that as this episode goes on. I think this is like one of the more perfect Ohio State bye weeks I can remember. To have it almost directly in the middle of the season is great for this team in particular. Travion Henderson sounds like he's good to go. That's awesome news, obviously. And then the last thing I have written down, which we'll talk about here in a little bit as well, is that it sounds like Craig Young is going to move from one of those safety spots or just have a different role. That was exactly what Ryan Day said, was we're moving him into a little bit of a different role. So we're probably just going to have to wait and see what that actually looks like on the field. I'm hoping that they just stick him at linebacker and we can see how that works. I mean, not ideal that would be the solution halfway through the season to some of the linebacker play, is like, yeah, just throw Craig Young in there. But Day was pretty complimentary about like wanting to get him on the field and just said, we want to find ways to get him and Ronnie Hickman on the field at the same time. So I think it can be a positive thing. It's not just like, hey, we're moving Craig Young somewhere else because he can't play. This sounds like he's been practicing well, and they want to find a way to get him on the field as a supplement to play with Ronnie Hickman. So whether that's at linebacker or whatever, we'll just have to wait and see. But I'll discuss that a little bit more later. But I thought that was some pretty good news to come out of that news conference. So that's it on that front. Let's talk about Maryland. So a couple things about them from a statistical standpoint before we talk about the actual matchups and what I'm looking for. They're 4-1 on the season. They've beaten West Virginia, Howard, Illinois in a really ugly game, and Kent State. They started off 4-0. And then, I mean, we all saw what happened to them last week against Iowa at home. They just got absolutely massacred, lost 51-14. They turned the ball over an ungodly amount of times. Talia Tungavailoa threw at least 4 picks. Maybe it was 5 picks. He turned the ball over a lot. It was very ugly, and things snowballed for them pretty quickly last week at home in a night game against Iowa. And they also lost their best receiver, too, in Dante Demas Jr., which is a big blow for them, not only for this game, but for the rest of the season. So they're not exactly coming into this game with like a lot of positive energy after what happened in that game. But Maryland is still a team that, like, Ohio State just can't roll out of bed and we're going to beat these guys by 30. I think it's similar to the Rutgers game in that regard, but Maryland's a better team than Rutgers was. They have the 18th ranked offense in S&P Plus and the 33rd ranked defense, and they cause a lot of havoc on defense, which I'll talk about here. But they still present a couple of challenges to this team on both sides of the ball. So the easy thing to do here would just be like, well, Ohio State's been balling the last couple of weeks. They've turned the corner. Maryland is in a really bad place right now. They lost their best receiver. They got destroyed against Iowa at home. They're frauds. They're going to kill them. I don't even think twice about this game. That would be the easy thing to do. But teams, much like people in regular everyday life, you usually aren't as bad as your worst day, and you're not as good as your best day. You're somewhere in the middle. So how do we accurately try to make sense of this game after what we've seen from Ohio State the last couple of weeks and against a team with a pulse like Rutgers, and they just dominated the whole first half and could have kept that up, but they decided to take their foot off the gas after the first drive of the third quarter against a team like Maryland, who seemingly has nothing going right for it right now. And the last time we saw them was a chance for them to make a really big statement about what type of team they are, and they just basically fell flat on their face. How do we make sense of all that, and how do we somewhat accurately try to figure out what this game looks like for Ohio State, where their advantages are, and what we can learn from Ohio State in this game? That's what I'm going to try to figure out here on this episode of the podcast. And the things that really stand out to me and what I'm looking for is, number one, just can they get into the bye week with another strong game? I talked about at the start of this that the bye week comes in at a really good spot for Ohio State this season, where it's basically smack dab in the middle of the year. You play six games, and then you have, on the other side of that, six games, which I think are pretty tough for the most part. Like, there's a couple in there that I feel super confident that they should roll in, but there's three or four where it's going to be a grind. I mean, I don't know what we make of Indiana and that game at this point on the road. Maybe Indiana's just been underwhelming so much that you feel super confident about that one, but it's still a game on the road against a team that's given Ohio State trouble. And then there's Nebraska, who has been improving the last couple of weeks. I think they might beat Michigan this week. I don't know. We'll see. And then there's Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan. So I think there's at least four games there where Ohio State is going to have to be at their best to win. But we'll talk about all that coming out of the bye and when those games individually come up. But I say all that to just say you get to finish this portion of the season and you get to hopefully do it on a strong note with three straight games where you finally felt like you found out who you are on both sides of the ball. You found this identity, and you have a good idea going into the bye week of what you are, and you don't have to spend that bye week like in total crisis. I mean, maybe things just go bad this week, and they do. That would be the ultimate nightmare scenario, where you felt like you had an identity, you felt like you were starting to build momentum, and then you play this Maryland game, and even if you win, things go wrong, and you're spending the bye week now like, okay, we thought we had stuff figured out. We really don't. Now we got to really figure it out. But if they have another strong game this week, I do think it's a real thing that you go into the bye week like, okay, we know where we're really strong. We know where we need to work. Obviously, it's not perfect, but we feel pretty confident about where we are as a team right now. If they're able to do that, I've said for the last two or three weeks, or I mean, I guess since the Akron game, like I'm not ready to say this team is turning a corner and how they compare with Cincinnati or Alabama or Georgia. If they win this game convincingly and they play really well and they play like we've seen them play the last couple of weeks, I'm still not ready to have those conversations because it's just too early and it doesn't matter. But I would be ready to be like, okay, these guys are turning the corner. That's three straight weeks. The advanced numbers are backing it up. Bill C's numbers seem to really like them and believe in what they're doing. that gives me a lot more to work with rather than just the blind faith of like, we're going to get this thing fixed. We need to get it fixed. Because then you have three games where it looks like this team has found an identity. And that's really all I've been asking for. So if they're able to do that and have another strong game this week, that'll go a long way to me in being like, okay, they're going to come out of the bye. They're healthy. They have an identity. They can use that week to just kind of get healthy and fine tune where they're at. That's, to me, the strongest point that this team can be at. So that's what I'm looking for this week, is if they can put in another strong performance, that's three in a row, they get into the bye week, had it on a roll, and I really start to like the direction of this team. If they're able to do that and we have three straight weeks of improvement, the thing that we're probably most optimistic about is, hey, the defense did it yet again. And that's where we're kind of all looking at. And what we've been looking at all season is, what can the defense do? We've been pretty much assured that like Ryan Day's going to figure out the offense, even if it has, you know, things it needs to work on and improve upon. The defense is the main subject we've all been talking about. And that's, I'll get to that here in a little bit. But when it comes to improvement, I want to start for this game with the offense, because they look different against Rutgers last week. And that's something I talked about on the recap, and not just me. I mean, everybody's been talking about it. I'm not special. Everybody's been remarking on what looked different, about the Ohio State offense and in the passing game, especially with not as many shots downfield. Maybe that's just a one-off thing, but they were really heavy into the short and intermediate game last week, and they had huge success with it. And like, I know we want all of CJ Stroud's success to come off of like dimes downfield to Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave and Jaxon Smith-Njigba and this whole passing offense. Like, we saw the throw to Njigba where he just laid it right into his hands about 20 yards downfield, and that's great. And if we want to talk about like NFL intangibles, that's the way to do it. But if this offense is just able to move the ball down the field on crossing routes where Garrett Wilson's getting wide open or Jeremy Ruckert's wide open and he's getting 8-9 yards per catch, even 7 yards per catch, and they're moving the ball efficiently, that to me is the bread and butter of this offense. That's where CJ Stroud looks very comfortable. And I know it's not fun when we want to be like, hey, CJ Stroud's just as good as every other quarterback. But if CJ Stroud's just making smart decisions, he's hitting dudes who are open, and we know that they're able to have those explosive plays through the running game or through the passing game. But if they're just efficiently moving the ball, I think that's where, to me, this offense starts to look like it's at its best. And that's what they did against Rutgers. They have so many playmakers, and like, why overcomplicate it? Why do you need to take 8-9 shots downfield every game? You know that Chris Olave is going to get open. You know that these guys can't cover Garrett Wilson on crossing routes. If these guys just get open, give them the ball 5 yards down the field and let them do their thing. To me, that's where this offense is at its best. And to me, that's where CJ Stroud has shown his most growth, was last week just making smart decisions. And yeah, he's still a young quarterback. He's going to make mistakes, but I felt like they really hit a groove last week. And now we have to see whether it was a one-game thing or not. Was that just the game plan against Rutgers, and that was what was most advantageous for them to do? Or is this kind of a changing in identity or finding their identity on offense? And that's where, when Maryland comes in, this is a good Maryland defense. This is a team that has caused a lot of havoc with their front seven this season, particularly in their defensive line. They have 18 sacks through five games. They have 36 tackles for loss. They have five dudes with at least two sacks so far this season. So I would say that this is probably a game where, no, you don't want CJ Stroud just hanging out in the pocket and trying to find some dude for 3 seconds. This is a quick passing game sort of matchup. And maybe that doesn't tell us like that Ohio State's just become this, because maybe that's what the matchup is. But I think if they're calling the same sort of stuff that they did against Rutgers, we can start to say like, okay, this is what they are. This is what CJ Stroud does best. And then you can build off the passing game through that. So the Rutgers game, we have to see if that was just a one-time thing. If they do it again this week, it aligns with the matchup and what Maryland does best. But also, we kind of start to get the idea that, okay, Ryan Day has seen enough tape, and whether it's in games and in practice, he's seen enough from CJ Stroud to know this is the best way to utilize him. and he can build his game off of that. So that's what I'm most excited to see in this offense, is really how the scheme of the passing game works. And also, not just limited to C.J. Stroud or the receivers, I talked about the havoc that Maryland's defensive line and linebackers create. This is a huge week for the offensive line, because they had their moments against Oregon where they weren't able to protect, and even Minnesota too. This is a game for them to really step up, and now you have Thayer Munford healthy. You basically have your full, stock of guys there ready, and you're going up against a bunch of Maryland players who can get after the quarterback. So let's see what they're able to do, and let's see what the scheme looks like. And I'll throw in there too, like, if they do what they did last week against Rutgers in terms of scheme in the passing game and the way that they approach it, I think that's probably the fully realized version of the Ohio State offense. And I know a couple of people have written about it. I tweeted about it. This offense right now is the most explosive offense in the country. They're averaging, I think, like 8.6 yards per play. And make whatever of that against the competition that they've played that you want. But they've all been FBS opponents, and the last team to average over 8 yards a play was Oklahoma in 2018. So, like, if this offense, which has been at sometimes unable to find their rhythm these last 2 weeks excluded, if they do it again this week and we see those similar things, I think you're starting to see what exactly this offense is. And then we can kind of spend some time talking about, like, this offense is on a historic trajectory with what they're able to do. And I haven't even talked about the run game. I think we all kind of know what the deal is there. Travion Henderson is healthy. He's ready to go. I don't really have any concerns about them other than, the random bust that they've had and a couple of the busts they had on the offensive line last week against Rutgers. But for the most part, they're going to be able to generate explosive gains there. Maybe same as the passing game, a little bit more consistency, getting 4 or 5 yard runs and putting yourself in second and third and manageable. But, like, if this offense continues on the path that they're on, we got to start having the discussion about them being a historic, not just Ohio State offense, but, like, modern college football offense. Got a long way to go, but it's worth noting in your mind if they look really good again against what is a strong and havoc-creating Maryland defense, that we might have something really special on our hands here. On the other side, I wanted to start with the offense in this episode, because defensively, I don't really know what to expect. And I know we've seen improvement the last couple of weeks. We've seen different looks. We've seen a lot more too high safeties. We've seen guys come into the lineup, younger dudes, make plays. Tyleek Williams, we've seen older dudes come into the lineup and make plays. Marcus Williamson, we'll see how much he plays this week and what his role is there. We'll see what Craig Young's role is, or whatever new role he's in for this week. To me, the biggest question here is, how does that translate against a good offense? Because yes, they've 100% improved the last couple of weeks. They've taken, I think, some major steps philosophically and structurally, which Ryan Day said they were going to do. And I think that they deserve credit for that. We've seen different looks from them. We have seen that too high safety look. We have seen a little bit more mixing and matching with what offenses do well, rather than just sticking to what Ohio State wants to do defensively. And all of that is awesome. It's better than the alternative of them playing bad against Akron and Rutgers. But at the same time, it's still Akron and Rutgers. So here, how does all of that we've seen the last 2 weeks translate against a good offense? Albeit one that, last time we saw them against Iowa, they really struggled and they turned the ball over a ton. They looked like a mess. But like I said earlier, that's really not what this Maryland team is. Maybe they'll turn the ball over a couple of times. I don't think it'll be as big of a disaster as it was last week. This is still a good offense that can attack the Ohio State defense. And the big thing here is the injury to Dante Demas. He already had over 500 yards receiving. He was a big play threat. That's a really huge loss for the Maryland offense. And that's one where, like, I wish he was healthy just in general. I don't wish injuries for anybody, but I wish he was playing in this game so we could take a true look at what a full-strength Maryland offense looks like against this Ohio State defense and how Ohio State counters a player as good as him and what they do. But it'll still be a challenge for them because despite how he played last week, Talia Tungavailoa is still a good quarterback, and he's smart enough to attack them and to be able to hit throws, even with what he did with his turnovers and now with Demas out. They're still smart enough to be able to attack this Ohio State defense. And I think that presents something new and exciting for the Ohio State coaching staff and us as fans, because when you're playing good teams now and good offenses now, we're going to start to see who these defensive coaches really trust. Which players were just getting reps and playing well against Akron and Rutgers in the second half and in the fourth quarter. And like, hey, if they were playing great, that's awesome. You want them to get those reps. You want to look good in any spot that you're in. And it's nice to see young dudes or older dudes who might have gotten passed up or not gotten their chance for whatever reason get out there and make plays. But now, whether it's this Maryland game or everything I talked about after the bye, now we're at the point where, unless you're just killing these teams, which is a possibility, I don't know, we'll see if they keep improving, unless you're just beating the shit out of them, now we're going to see the rotation tighten a little bit. Who do these coaches actually trust? You hear them say, hey, we like our depth, we like anybody we play out there. All of that only matters based upon snap counts to see who they really trust. And this is the first game, well, since really Oregon, that we're going to see who this staff actually trusts. We've heard them talk about Tyleek Williams, but he was also in the game late against Rutgers. Do they trust him in a pivotal Big Ten conference game early in the game to make plays? I don't know. We'll find out on Saturday. Did they trust Marcus Williamson? Ryan Day was pretty effusive in his praise about him this week and how much he's improved and how he had distractions that he needed to get out of the way, and it's really shown what he's done and the work that he's put in. That's all well and good, but is he trusted enough to go out there in the first quarter or the second quarter when it's still a 7-point game or a 14-point game to go out there and make plays? That's what we're going to start to find out, and maybe it'll be a good thing, maybe it'll be a bad thing, and we see them run out some dudes who collectively we think like, ugh, that guy shouldn't be out there, but it's clear the coaches trust them. I don't know, but that's stuff we start to find out now that we're in the middle of the season. And there's really no opponent left where you just look at it on paper and think, ah, we're just going to smoke these dudes and play a bunch of freshmen in the second half. Maybe that's just how I look at it. But I think this is the start of the rest of the season where we see the defensive rotation tighten and we see who these coaches really trust to go out there and make plays. And as far as how I feel about the defense's ability to actually go out there and have another strong game, I don't know. I've been cautiously optimistic what they've done the last 2 weeks. It has me in a good frame of mind. I'm sure that's the same for you too, that they've put together these strong performances. They've at least learned from their mistakes and saw what they did early in the season and admitted that it didn't work, and they've changed some stuff. They've showed some different looks. There's been guys who have flashed, so I feel good about that. But again, we have to see it against a good offense, and this Maryland team is that. So another strong game here, that'll be 3 in a row, and it'll go a long way to making me feel like, okay, I'm still not sold on this defense being anywhere near close to like what we want it to be, like in a perfect world of being a defense with a bunch of 4- and 5-star talent who's a top 10, but if they're just good, then it significantly raises the ceiling of this team. So yeah, Maryland was what they were against Iowa last week, but I don't think you should get it twisted that this is an offense that can still attack them and make them pay if they're out of position or if they aren't doing the things we've seen the last couple of weeks. And like, there's still major question marks about this defense. I think one major question mark, despite the improvement we've seen, is kind of looming large over everything. And I feel like we haven't collectively sat down as a family and really like grilled it yet. But at what point are they going to get a pass rush from their defensive ends? They're getting, I don't want to say nothing, because the numbers still like what Zach Harrison is doing from a pressure standpoint. But one sack, was it one sack against Rutgers? Like, that's just not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not going to be enough for what this team wants to do. It's not going to be enough when you play Indiana. It's not. It's sure as hell is not going to be enough when you play Penn State or Michigan or anything else that comes after that. And whatever your goals for the postseason may be, that's just not going to hold up. They can't rely on these defensive tackles to pile up sacks for them week after week, as great as they are and as, you know, fun as it's been watching Haskell Garrett and Tyleek Williams and everybody else just completely fuck up the interior of these offensive lines. The outside dudes need to step up and make some plays. And Tyreek Smith has been out. We don't know when he's coming back. We haven't really heard anything. Zach Harrison, what are we going to get there? I don't know. And I really like what we've seen from JTT. I think he's a true freshman that's out there playing his first college ball, and you can tell. But he's also making plays, and it's going to be a little bit before he really gets to that game wrecker status. But you can see him building up to that. But they just can't rely on having him be the best pass rush option that they have out there. So that's still the one major thing to me about this defense that, like, man, they need to figure out how to generate some outside pressure. And I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to find it. Maybe this is just what those guys are, but that's where, like, as much as anything about this team and about this defense, if they got like three sacks from the outside, three or four, like four would be unbelievable. If they just generated some pressure, they forced Tagovailoa into some mistakes because of the outside pressure, that's when I'll start to believe the defense is really, really taking some strides, and that I believe that they can hang with any team in the country, because at the very least, even if they're giving up yards, they're generating pressure, they're forcing turnovers, and their players who are supposed to be the ones making plays are making plays. So that's, if they're able to generate pressure from the outside and from those defensive ends, that to me will be the thing we could come out of this game talking about is like, damn, it feels good to go into the bye week. Ohio State looks great. And that's really all I got for this week. I think the biggest thing is consistency. This team has stacked up two good weeks. If they're able to stack up three with another one against Maryland, then it starts to become a pattern. Then we can kind of start talking about this team as a team who might make some noise. I said I wasn't going to equate anything to 2014, but looking back at that team, and I'm still not going to be like, oh, this team could be 2014. But looking at that team as like the model for how to rebound from an early loss, what did they do? They stacked good week after good week after good week after good week. And it didn't matter whether people thought that they were a playoff contender or a national title contender. They just played good football week after week. They learned from their mistakes. They adjusted from their mistakes. We saw young players on both sides of the ball grow and turn into what they became by the end of the season. And that to me is, it's kind of set the model for what this team should aspire to be. I think that they are far, far from where that team was in 2014, at least as of right now, but at least on one side of the ball. The offense, I feel more convinced that we've seen them start to find their identity. But that's to me where this team, if any of this makes sense, can really make their bones. We need to start to see that consistency. And if they do it this week on both sides of the ball, that's three straight weeks, and you go into the bye feeling pretty good about yourself. You can go heal up and kind of just tweak. Instead of making major fixes next week, you can just tweak on what you need to tweak and get ready for what should be a pretty hellacious stretch run, and where we can see coming out of the bye week how they stack up against some pretty damn strong teams for the rest of the season. So I'm super fired up about this game. I think Ohio State has a great chance to build some positive momentum. I'm a big believer that like momentum isn't real in sports, but I think stacking up good games and playing consistently great football, that's what you want to do. You want to be consistently great. This team has the talent to be consistently great, but they haven't been consistent so far this season. Another dominating game, and I'm not just saying like, yo, you beat Maryland 52-10 or 52-3, whatever, that constitutes a great game. But just seeing them play strong on both sides of the ball, that'll go a long way to me in really giving us a window into what this team could possibly be for the rest of the season. So I'm super excited about it. I think Maryland poses a strong enough challenge to make that a reality. And hey, like, who knows? We could see them just drop a stinker and we're back to talking about like, man, this team is f***ed. What are they? I don't know. I tend to think more so that, like, I'm cautiously optimistic that this team is starting to catch a groove. They're starting to figure out who they are, and they're going to go into the bye week just on a roll and coming out of that and ready to make this stretch run. So we'll have to wait and see. I'm super excited for Saturday, and I hope this preview made sense and where I was going with this and kind of what I think about this team as we get to game six and the midpoint of this season. You can let me know what you thought about it by sending me a tweet at DubsCo. You can also subscribe to the show. If you're listening, I don't know why you wouldn't be subscribed. But if you aren't, please do that on either Spotify. Follow along there. You get all the episodes of Scarlet and Gray Stripes where I talk about Ohio State, and every episode of the regular Two Stripes podcast where I just preview every single week in college football. That episode of Two Stripes is going to come out right after this one. I'm recording this right now. I'm going to eat some lunch, and then I'm going to record the Two Stripes podcast and hopefully have both of these up by Wednesday night so you can listen to them. So subscribe on Spotify, follow along there, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, leave a star rating, leave a review, send it to a friend, help build the show if you guys like the show. The listener numbers have been going up, so I really appreciate it, and I hope this is a nice little hub to talk about college football. So appreciate everybody following along on whatever platform you do. And you can also listen on SoundCloud as well, soundcloud.com/twostripespod. Follow the YouTube channel, subscribe there, youtube.com/ColtonDenning. The Maryland simulation video is going to be up on Thursday as well. So check that out. Like I said, it's a little more entertaining than the Rutgers one. People seem to have seem to have enjoyed, I should say, Jesus, man, I need to get out of here. People have seemed to enjoy those simulation videos, so I'm going to keep those coming for the rest of the year. And subscribe to twostripescpd.com. I got a lot of things going on, a lot of different platforms, and if you want a centralized hub for everything, you can find it all there at twostripescpd.com. The number two, not T-W-O. That's pretty much it. Hope you guys all enjoy the middle portion of your week as much as you can, as much as I'm trying to do. And we just chug along to get to another week of college football and the Ohio State Maryland game. And if you're going, hope you enjoy going to the game as well. I forgot to mention, forever, like for the last 3 months, I thought this game was a road game until I started taking notes for this episode. I was like, oh shit, it's actually at home. And I think on the Rutgers recap, I said this game was on the road. So no, it's a home game, which is really nice. So if you're going, I hope you enjoy it. Make some noise. Yell at the other people next to you for not making noise because the shoes atmosphere sucks ass. So hopefully it's a little bit loud in there and this team is ready to go. But that's probably a good cue for me to get out of here. So I'm going to do that. Thank you once again for listening. My name is Colton Denning. This is Scarlet and Gray Stripes. I'll holler at you next time.